We are the very people that God uses time after time after time after time to get his job done. So lest you think you have nothing to offer, take a look at Scripture and you'll find very quickly that you have much to offer to God and to the world.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
We're going to talk about feeding this morning. Y'all had breakfast? No? Well, I can't help it if you didn't have breakfast. That's not my problem. But before you leave this morning, I hope that you will walk away having been fed by God and that you will have had enough to sustain you and to take you into the next week and in the weeks to come. A lot happening in our world as a whole, and we need to be shored up with the Word of God in this day and in this time to help us work through and live in the days in which we live. So let us not fail to turn to the Word of God to feed us and to sustain us in these days in which we live.
Let's welcome the Missinewall Valley Brass Quintet.
Thank you.
Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Jesus quickly made his disciples get into a boat and cross to the other side ahead of him while he sent the people away. After sending the people away, he went up a mountain to pray by himself. When evening came, he was there alone. The boat, now hundreds of yards from shore, was being thrown around by the waves because it was going against the wind. Between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, he came to them. He was walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. They said, "It's a ghost," and began to scream because they were afraid. Immediately, Jesus said, "Calm down, it's me. Don't be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, order me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he noticed how strong the wind was, he became afraid and started to sink. He shouted, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out, caught hold of him, and said, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped blowing. The men in the boat bowed down in front of Jesus and said, "You are truly the Son of God."
Scripture I'm going to read is the one just prior to the one that Holly read. You recognize that story of Jesus being out on the water and actually going out to pray and meeting with the disciples as they're just about to come into the seashore on Tiberias, and they realize that what they thought is a ghost comes walking toward them. And we have that experience of Peter saying, "Lord, ask me to come to you." And he does. He crawls out of the boat and offers that very short three-word prayer, "Lord, save me." Because what does he do? He takes his eyes off of God. He gets more focused on what's happening outside the boat and what's happening in the water and loses sight of who he's really ought to be looking at. And that's Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have that trouble. We get our eyes focused in other directions and we lose sight of what's really important. Well, our scripture lesson for the sermon this morning is the scripture just prior to that, and Jesus is going to feed a multitude. Prior to that, Jesus has been off by himself waiting for the disciples. He has sent them off two by two to go out into the world and practice their hand at being in ministry, if you will. And so they're coming back to him, but he has just learned that his cousin John the Baptist has been murdered by Herodias, by Herod. And he, I'm sure, is devastated at that news because he probably knows that his life may very well be in jeopardy as well. But we hear these words from Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. When Jesus heard these words, he withdrew from that place in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus says to them, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces. 12 baskets were left over, and those who were there ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children." This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, I want you to imagine that you're sitting on a hillside after you have found Jesus sitting in a boat, and you have brought your sick and your lame to him, and he has seen your plight, he has seen your difficulty, he has healed some of you there on that seashore, and you're sitting there and he's talking to you. The disciples realize it's getting to be late in the evening, perhaps 6 or 7 o'clock. And they tell Jesus, "Send these folks away." They're eager to get on with getting to be with Jesus and spend time together. And Jesus says, "Nope, you take care of them." What are we going to do? We don't have any money. We don't have any food. We don't have a microwave here to put it in, to cook it up in a hurry. We don't have a Walmart standing by to go get food out of. Well, when we think about this parable, when we think about this story, I think of the fact that Jesus feeds that crowd. And if you look at this story shows up in all four of the Gospels. I think it's a significant story in that it shows up in all four Gospels. And it shows up in different ways. In that one place it says that he fed 5,000. One place it says he feeds four. And another place it says he feeds seven. I don't know that the number is so important as the fact that he performs this activity. And it's pretty consistent across the Gospels as to how it happened. The number just varies. And of course we know that in that day and age, we didn't count the women and children because they really didn't matter, unfortunately. It was just the men that mattered. So they were the only ones that got counted. So we know that there were at least 5,000. And if every man had a woman and every man and woman had a child, well, then there were at least 10 to 15,000 more. At least 10,000 more besides the 5,000 or the 4 or the 7, depending on which version story you read. Again, the number's not so important as it is the what happens. What happens. And I think what we need to think about is the fact that Jesus feeds them in this story, but he doesn't just feed them with food. He sees this crowd in a much different way than we probably would see them. And that's what I want us to think about for just a moment. He didn't just feed them barley loaves and fish. And of course, we know in one of the stories that there's a little boy who leaves home that day and he has with him a small lunch pail. Perhaps he left home thinking that maybe he'd have an encounter of some kind or another and probably not imagining that his 5 loaves and 2 fish would feed a mass of people. But nevertheless, it does, because the disciples go out and find that little small meal in that lunch pail to offer to Jesus to feed those 5,000 plus people. But Jesus saw them as more than people needing a meal. He had healed, as I said, some of those people prior to feeding them, who he identified with. He healed them with compassion, for they were sheep without a shepherd. Now, I don't know if you've done any sheep farming. Any of you have done sheep farming know how stupid sheep are. If one of them decides to walk off, guess who follows? The whole crowd goes with them. And so they need somebody to herd them and to lead them and to guide them. And Jesus saw this group of people as people who needed a leader. They needed somebody who would protect them and who would not lead them astray. And so he begins to offer them that love and compassion and that leading that they needed. And the disciples, they're a tired lot. And I think at times they were probably just about as bad as the sheep. They just didn't always get it. You know, these guys were not Rhodes Scholars. They were common, ordinary people. You know, if you think about the gospel story, if you think about scripture as a whole, God uses the very, very ordinary often to get our attention. So when we think, oh, I don't have much to offer, hello, we are the very people that God uses time after time after time after time to get his job done. So lest you think you have nothing to offer, take a look at scripture and you'll find very quickly that you have much to offer to God and to the world. But you see, these disciples, they're tired and they can't imagine, they can't see the possibilities that are there for them to feed this people. When we work together, and this is what happens in this story, Jesus invites the disciples to work together. We've adopted a motto in Indiana, together we are more. One of us by ourselves can't do a lot, but you bring two of us together, you bring three of us together, imagine what we can do. And think of, there are lots of other ways we can think about that. But Jesus feeds them not just barley loaves and fish, because not only do they have barley loaves and fish, but they have leftovers. Can you imagine having leftovers out of 5 barley loaves and fish? Doesn't hardly seem possible, but we're not just talking about somebody ordinary. We're talking about Jesus. When we work together, we can be more. Jesus can use our financial resources, our talents, our time, and when we share those, we can do more. When we join the United Methodist Church, Jesus, we're asked to share our time, our prayer, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And if we all do that together, we can do more. Well, back to the story. The disciples protested because they didn't think they had anything to offer. My question to you would be, would God ask you to do something that he didn't think you had something to offer as well? Probably not. Now there's a story, and I think you've probably seen this one. It's one of those little things that comes across on Facebook, and it's been out there on internet. It goes something like, you're ready to get out of bed in the morning, and God says not to worry, that he has everything handled, and you haven't even put your feet out of the bed yet. Seen that one? God has everything taken care of before you ever get out of bed in the morning. Jesus fed those people not just with food, but he fed them important lessons. He fed them about how to live life. He talked to them about living in the present kingdom of God. We oftentimes talk about the kingdom of God as though it's something that's out there that we haven't gotten to yet. When reality, the kingdom of God is right here and right now. When we accept Jesus Christ, we are part of that living kingdom that exists here and now. It's not something we wait for later on. He talked to them about the Messiah that was coming, and not the one who was coming, but the one who was already with them, even though they didn't understand. And I think that if Jesus were here today, he would talk to us very clearly about words of peace and justice and about saying what we need to say in the circumstances in which we live today. Calling sin a sin and calling racism what it is and calling sexism what it is and all of those things. We try to pretend and hide behind that, but we really need to get busy about saying what is. We're afraid we'll upset somebody. We're afraid we'll insult somebody. And we're called to be the folks who can say those things. And sometimes that means we might have to take a risk. But being Christians these days, it's kind of risky business. It means getting our hands dirty at times. And Jesus wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. And so he gives them lessons, and he's giving us lessons. He feeds them with compassion. These were people, like I said, who were like sheep, who'd wander off and fall off a cliff if they didn't know what was happening, unfortunately. And so we sometimes are like those sheep. We need that compassion. We have times in our life when we're struggling. We're struggling with illness. We're struggling with depression. We struggle with finances. We struggle with job situations. We struggle with marital discord. We struggle with health issues. And we need something to come along and comfort us. We need something to come along and walk beside us. And Jesus saw that in these people. And he feeds them. He gives them that compassion, that care, and that love that they need. And we're called in this day, together, we're called to offer that same kind of food, to offer that same compassion, that same love, that same care to the people that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. Now, we know that in this, Jesus himself is grieving a bit. His own relative, his own cousin, John the Baptist, has died. But Jesus steps aside for a little bit in order to take care of these. But yet he feeds them with that empathy that he needs and he senses that they need. And he moves out of that solitude in order to minister with them and to be with them in that time. You see, Jesus is concerned about every aspect of our lives. You know, sometimes we don't always let Jesus have all of us. I'm going to hold on to this little part over here because I don't want Jesus meddling and mucking up in that part. I'll take care of that section. When in reality, we need to offer that to Jesus as well. We need to offer all of us to God. Jesus wants it all. And we have to do we take time to share our lives with him? Or do we hide off and dismiss those things? Sometimes we just say, oh, Jesus, those aren't as important. You got other things to take care of. There are bigger things in the world for you to be concerned about. You don't need to worry about my little hangnail on my right left toe. Or my little struggle with Susie Q down the block. I'll take care of that. But Jesus wants it all. He wants all of us, all of our parts and all of our issues, so that we won't hesitate. You know, we don't have any trouble taking the big stuff. We've worked on it. We've struggled with it. We've wrestled with it. We can't fix it. So, okay, God, here it is. Take care of it. After we've already mucked it up, of course. Then we hand it over. If we'd hand it over from the very beginning and trust Jesus with it from the very beginning, it probably wouldn't turn out sometimes the way it does. We must remember, along with the story, that our call to feed and to tend the sheep. You remember back in the latter part of John, Jesus forgives Peter. That same one who just a little while ago stepped out of the boat and was afraid and said, "Save me," and who then later on in the life and joy of Peter, Jesus says, "You're going to deny me, not once, not twice, but three times." And after Jesus' resurrection, he comes back to Peter and he forgives him by asking him, not once, not twice, but three times, "Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? If you do, tend my sheep. Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep." And Peter was getting a little irritated with him because he thought Jesus knew how he felt. But Jesus wanted to make sure that he knew, that Peter knew, that he loved him. And so we have to remember that not only are we to care for the physical needs, but we're also responsible for the spiritual needs. We're called to be compassionate. We're called to bring wholeness and wellness into the lives of people. Jesus provides an abundance. Sometimes we struggle in the church with a little thing we call scarcity versus abundance mentality. And sometimes we think we don't have anything. And so we operate out of, we can only do this much because this is all we have. When we're in reality, we have much more. We just have to trust God with it and ask God to use all that we have. And we sometimes are surprised when we allow ourselves to allow God to use all that, because we find out we have way more than we ever imagined. But we tend to be a little bit on the scarcity mindset. And Jesus invites us to live out of the abundance. There were 12 basketfuls left over from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know about you, but that's pretty amazing. That's abundance. That's not scarcity. That's abundance. So do we ourselves live in scarcity, or do we live in abundance? The little boy gave all that he had. It wasn't much, but it became abundant. It became more than enough to feed 5, 7, 4, 10, 20,000 people. So let me say this. Jesus fed the crowd with abundance. He fed them with compassion. He fed them with empathy. He fed them with leadership. He fed them with life lessons. He fed them with knowledge that being together was better than being apart. And he fed them with knowing that they would be fed in abundance. We will be fed in abundance. Jesus lavishes us with his compassion, and we're called to do the same. He asks us to feed and tend his sheep. He asks us to use our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness to feed God's people. So my question to you is, will you feed this week, either physically, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally, someone who needs to be fed in their life this week? Amen. You ever been somewhere and heard a hymn that was a favorite hymn but sung in a different language? You knew the words in your language, but they were different in that day. Many years ago, I was in Haiti, and we were in a worship service at 2 in the afternoon. It was hotter than all get out. But at the end of the service, we sang this song. It didn't matter that it was sung in Creole. The words were still the same. As we go out today and we think about being fed, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. We may go out into the world in different places and different times, but we are bound together by the kindred love that draws us together as Christians. So may you go out this week and may you feed, may you tend, and may you care for those who need tending and feeding and caring, and do it all with the love of Christ as you go forth. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning, and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.